If you were on with us earlier and we kept telling you that a bunch of Warriors were going to stop by, let's just say that there were some planes, trains, and automobiles moments that sort of took place. And so we're going to do that on a different day, which is kind of a tragedy because Quentin Post saying "Don't Stop Believing" in front of a bunch of people at Chase Center yesterday was very funny, and I was looking forward to talking to an incredibly tall man about him singing in front of a crowd at a major concert arena in America when he's not a singer.
And you had the chef and Draymond Green jumping and dancing around, and you know the crowd was into it. And when you're his age, and I don't know the exact age, but I would imagine he's in his early 20s, and that song now has got to be 40-something years old. Like, how do you even know that song at his age?
Well, I mean, sir, I've learned this, and you have too, with kids, that certain songs, like, they last. And sometimes they're not even the ones that you think. You know, I was talking to Ken earlier about him having tickets to go see Oasis in Europe. My kids can all sing Wonderwall.
Yeah.
Well, how? How old is that song? When did Wonderwall come out? Ken, I'm sure you know that off the top of your head.
Probably at least 30 years ago.
Is it
90? I was thinking 97. God, so
well, I used to listen. Yeah, like it was when I was in college, which was mid 90s.
October 30th, 1995.
29 years ago.
29 years
ago.
Almost
to the day.
Update: my kids are not 29. They're not 20. They're not 18. They all know the song. So this is one of those songs.
Don't Stop Believing, 1981.
Yeah,
you want, 43 years ago.
You want to hear Quentin Post, 7 feet tall and a falsetto? This is a little bit of it.
Yeah. It's no wonder why he can hit the high notes, Mark. He's from Amsterdam. There you go.
I thought he was born and raised in South Detroit, no?
I think Northwestern Amsterdam.
Anyway.
The 7-footer. And older than I thought, he's 24, Quentin Post. He's a full-on 24.
24?
So. Yeah.
I don't even know you're allowed to be a rookie at age 24 anymore in the NBA.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Well, TJD, I think, was 24 last year as a rookie.
Yeah, and it worked. Yeah, so that was fun. I mean, we will reset with Quentin Post at another time. We're going to go to the phones. We're going to have Dibs see if he can do the NFL career passer rating thing. But we cannot let an incredibly key piece of business get away from us. You know what day of the week today is? Today's Thursday. It is one of the 3 days of the week that is home to a primetime football game. And when there's primetime, there's also Fade the Dibbers.
It's time for
Fade the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
I've seen polar ice caps that aren't as cold as you, but let's see if you can rally back, because we do know one thing about Dibs. Sometimes he takes an L, sometimes he bounces back.
Yeah, and I'm having a pretty good show.
You're throwing a perfect game, but the show's not over yet.
And no pressure.
This is a lot tougher than a Greg Cosell interview or a Mark Willard 5 Elite Quarterbacks convo, because this is one of those games that is such a stay away. I would not pick this with a 10-foot pole, but unfortunately, I have to.
You do.
And I look at rookie quarterback against rookie quarterback, mediocre team against mediocre team, and I think, you know what? When in doubt, give me the points. I'll take New Orleans and the 2.5. Cuckoo! Cuckoo!
Winnie Mo. We got a home dog.
And home dog.
Home dog.
And
home dog.
This game feels like 14-13 to me, one way or the other.
This game feels like go say hi to your family and skip it.
Totally.
That's what this game feels like.
I don't have that choice, unfortunately.
I got one of those confidence pools, and I'm like, I don't even know who I'm picking, but I'm putting it at one. I'm skipping this game.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're supposed to do with this. Bo Nix versus Spencer Rattler. None of the Saints are playing. The Broncos don't have any good players to begin with.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with this football game.
I'm in a confidence pool, and this is my four, which is my third lowest, because there's only 15 games, so there's no one. We do it like you take off there's the no low.
Oh,
it's
okay.
2 through 16.
Got it.
So this That's is weird. My third least confident game. You do it the other way where...
Yeah.
So there's
what's the difference? It's just points.
It's points, yeah.
Yeah, it's just whatever.
The 16 stays, and then you take off the bottom. You guys do it the other way around.
Yeah, we take off
the top. You take off the top, yeah. So either way, doesn't really matter, but this is my third most confident pick, and I have New Orleans and the 2.5 Cuckoosh.
Cuckoosh.
Thank you. Thank you. One more lock.
We're going to go to the phones here in just a sec. Can we please have game show music, Randy? I would love that. I would appreciate it so much. There are three quarterbacks, and the minimum, you have to have played, I think, 64 football games. You have to play 64 football games in order to qualify for the list. So Brock Purdy is just about halfway there. And if he's doing what he's doing then, what he is now, we'll hold that, and you'll see kind of where it sits. But there are three quarterbacks in the history of this league that have a career quarterback rating of 100 or higher. Can you name them?
All three of them? Man.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not? Because you're talking about a long history of NFL quarterbacks, and there's only three that are higher than 100?
All-time passer rating leaders, minimum 64 games. There are three quarterbacks that are 100 or above.
I'm thinking about highly accurate guys who have been really good for a long time, and I'm thinking about Drew Brees, who's just up on our screen. I'm going to go with Drew Brees.
That is number six on the all-time list, 98.7. That's a no from us, dog.
That hurts. Aaron Rodgers has had a lot of years where he's led the league. I'm going to go Aaron Rodgers.
Number one.
Let's go,
Aaron
baby.
Aaron Rodgers, 103.
Number one. 103.
Aaron Rodgers.
Man.
Go ahead.
You can't do quarterback convos without the GOAT. Man. Tom Brady's got to be in the top three. Cuckoosh.
No? Sorry. Number 11, 97.2. Tom Brady, number 11.
Well, I get it. God, I'm having a good show. From one GOAT to the other, I'm going to go with the other GOAT and cross my fingers. I'm sitting with two strikes. Patrick Mahomes has got to be up there.
Let's Patrick go. Mahomes, number two at 102.9. Just a shade behind Aaron, but obviously both of them are still playing, so we'll see where it goes.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So it's make or miss here. It's a make or miss league.
It is.
And I can't help but think about the Dwight Clark Legacy series where we sat with a guy who told you that you actually were singing. And he was very accurate, and he was very good. He's a Hall of Famer. I'm going to go with the left-hander, Steve Young, for the win. You can put it on the board. Steve Young? Steve Young.
You were having such a good show. You're still throwing a shutout, but I'm sorry.
It's a fluke.
I'm sorry. We have a base runner now.
Texas Leaguer.
Tell me Steve Young better close. In the eighth. Infield single.
Steve Young is number 13 on the all-time list at 96.8. You can go ahead and fade the dibbers and fade the music.
I never liked QB rating anyway.
You could have guessed for the rest of the hour, and I don't think you would have gotten who number three is.
So I'm guessing it's not Joe Montana.
He is also
number three.
Still playing. Still
what?
Playing. He is still
Joe Flacco.
No. Joe Flacco. Flacco's probably 4,000.
Kirk Cousins?
Nope.
Not Stat Padfield.
I could give it away.
Hang in there, big guy. There'll be brighter days ahead.
Looks like he's starting this week.
Oh, my God. That guy?
Uh-huh.
Everyone hates me except Sierra?
Mm-hmm.
Russ, doggy dog?
Yeah, Russell Wilson at an even 100.
Oh, my God.
Is number three on the all-time list. Rounding out the top five, two of my other on my list of five elite quarterbacks. Joe Burrow is number four. Lamar Jackson is number five. You want two quick aside, really fun ones? I give you two names that are also in the top 10 of career quarterback rating that'll blow your mind because all of you think they stink out loud. And you're kind of right. Number seven on the all-time list is Deshaun Watson. And number 10 on
Deshaun Watson?
Yes. And number 10 on the all-time list is Jimmy Garoppolo.
What? Quarterback rating. Am I right?
Now, why do we bring this up? Aaron Rodgers, all-time career leader, 103. Patrick Mahomes, 102.9. Brock Purdy's career quarterback rating at this hour is 108.9.
Man.
So we are 30 games away of him being the highest rated passer in the history of the National Football League. Go ahead. Tell me he's just okay.
Exactly.
I'm listening. Odyssey.com.
Thank you. I knew it.
I'm listening. We're right here. Josh, who is still on 580, probably not now. Josh, are you at home on your couch by now? Josh? After all that.
Yeah,
there he is.
No,
okay.
Got me.
There we go. Hi, Josh.
Yeah, I got hit with a cancellation sensation, man.
You sure did.
Can't pay it.
I'm still on 580, man. I was on 580 before picking up my son. Now I'm on 580 with my son.
Perfect.
But here's what I wanted to say, man. It's interesting because I support Brock Purdy a ton. I think he's top seven for sure in the league right now, and he's our franchise quarterback. When I think about elite quarterbacks, I think about guys that are extremely accurate, right? That can extend plays, at will. That can run when you need them to, and when it's fourth quarter, you know that they're going to make a drive to at least get a field goal, right? And the last piece is that if you put them on any other team in the NFL, that team automatically becomes a playoff contender. And now, I really love Brock, but there is just something that I think is that you said he has enough sample size. I think we just got to wait to see the end of this season. And if he really does it again this season, then he's truly in that elite category. But it's going to take some more grinded out wins. It's going to take some more close games. Not going to be as many blowouts as last year. Last year was almost so easy. It's like, oh, it's the team because it's so easy. This year's going to be more grinded out. And it's going to have to be on Brock's back just a little bit more. So the sample size is accurate. It has to be 3 years, but it's got to be another full year for him to really show it, game in, game out, where they come back in fourth quarters and win games for people to really give him that elite status. And I think he's got it all that it takes. He's got all those attributes that I mentioned. He can extend plays. Yep. He can run when you need him to. He's extremely accurate. He's got it all. People just got to see it in the clutch moments in the big games. And the big games so far, he hasn't really performed well. Ravens last year, he had a down game. The Super Bowl, he had a down game. The playoffs before, the Lions comeback was his biggest one. The Packers game was an okay game. So in the biggest games, he also hasn't shown up in the best way. So I think that's why people are a little skeptical. So I truly believe he's there, but I think that's kind of the reason, the sample size. And when it's those big games, is he dominating? We just haven't seen it just yet, but I believe him. I got it. You guys have a great show, man.
Josh, real quick before you go, since you said he had a down game in the Super Bowl, do you have any recollection at all of what his numbers were in that game?
No, I mean, statistically wise, I think it was a great. I know he was pretty good. I know he was pretty good stats.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact stats. But when the drives, when we needed him, he didn't finish. And that's what we're talking about, elite quarterbacks, they make those plays. You know what I'm saying? When it's third and five and you find anybody, you scramble, you make it. I'm not saying that's me. I'm just saying that's what everybody else is looking at, right?
Yeah, I get it. Josh, Josh, thank you for holding. Thank you for staying with us. There's a very good call. It was reasoned. I get it. I chuckled at one point because when at this point, I don't know if we're not going to just, every time there's a year ending, we're going to go, okay, do it one more time. Do it again. Like when he said, we need to see if we get to the end of this year, then we'll give it to him. Okay. Like everybody gets to make their decision on what a sample size actually is. I chuckle at that at this point because we've done that. We did that already. Okay, that was a fun rookie year. Then you got hurt. Do it again. Okay, he does it again. He gets fifth in the MVP, and he goes to the Super Bowl.
Well, and his year year was the 14th best quarterback rating for a single season in history.
In history, right. And then he comes out this year, and again, statistically, very, very strong. Sure, a 3-3 record. We get how we got here, but he's been doing it with a lot of his key people hurt around him, and it has not hurt him statistically at all. And so we're still going to go do it again. Do it again. In the next breath, you'll go, why? CJ Stroud is elite, Mark. Well, wait a minute. I thought I was being told that you had to play for 3 or 4 full years before. Like, no one's asking for CJ Stroud to do it again. No one wants Jordan Love to do it again. Jordan Love hasn't even played a full season at this point. So that's all I'm getting at. And I also think that while there's some points in there with regard to the whole, like, okay, you get the ball, 2 minutes left to go, we forget the success stories. Oh, he hasn't done that in the big games. Well, he did it against Green Bay in the playoffs. He did it against Detroit in the playoffs. And when he got the ball in overtime against the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl, refreshed my memory, where did the drive go?
But settled for 3.
It settled for 3.
It was another red zone failure.
It went all the way to the 3-yard line.
Yep.
And a lineman went the wrong way. And you guys will blame Brock and call me a homer because I said that.
No, but okay. Not blaming Brock.
But I mean, Brandon Ayuk is standing by himself in the end zone. And
yeah.
If a lineman is not on his face, then Brock's going to complete that pass and the Niners are going to go up by 7.
That was not the only play that happened on that drive. So, you know, you can give a quarterback credit and you can also give a quarterback blame, and it's either fair or unfair no matter how you do it. And his numbers in the game, 23 of 38, one touchdown, quarterback rating of 89.3.
Yep.
By his standards, that wasn't as good as what he's been.
Well, but by first off, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. You can't apply the same statistical sort of bar in the playoffs. Those are the best teams.
Right.
Everybody's numbers go down. You know what Patrick Mahomes' numbers were in the Super Bowl? Mr. Fancy Greatest of All Time, Michael Jordan, Patrick Mahomes, can't be beat guy?
Yeah, 34 of 46, quarterback rating of 99.3.
Okay.
So better than Brock. He threw 2 touchdowns and a pick. Brock threw 1 touchdown. Juwan Jennings threw as many touchdowns as Brock Purdy. I mean, what are we doing here, Mark?
Well, no, but what are we doing?
Juwan Jennings was the best quarterback for the Niners in the Super Bowl. Hashtag quarterback ratings.
That's a good take.
What are we doing here? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that's people are going to hold that against Brock Purdy
in the same way
they hold it against everybody. And you hold it against Joe Burrow. You hold it against Jared Goff. You hold it against any quarterback who's been to the Super Bowl and not won it. And that's just going to be something that he hopefully can get over. They've been close, like Jim Kelly, Dan Marino. These are quarterbacks who still get knocked in some circles for never having won the big game. Jim Kelly went to 4 in a row and was unable to get it done. Fran Tarkenton went to 3 and never won one.
But we move the goalposts on. We change, like, the big game. That comes from a big game. And then we change it to the big game. I want to see Brock do XYZ in big games. Well, okay, here's the ball. You're losing by 4 against Green Bay. Go get a touchdown. You do. Next week, okay, you're down by 17 points at halftime at home against Detroit. Go do something. You do. Then you go to the Super Bowl. You play a solid, not great, solid game. You go to overtime against Patrick Mahomes. You drive the ball all the way down the field in overtime. An offensive lineman goes the wrong way. You kick a field goal. Mahomes gets a touchdown. Brock can't win the big game. I find that to be a silly argument.
I don't think the goalposts are moving.
It's
like hurdles, and he's cleared every hurdle but the last one. And it's okay because it's even more like American Ninja Warrior, where you go through 10 obstacles, and the last obstacle is the one where you have to climb that rope and you have to go up 100 feet in 90 seconds. And if you can do it, you are the Ninja Warrior. And if you can't, well, you're still really, really good at climbing and jumping and stuff, but you're not the American Ninja Warrior. Well, right now, he hasn't been able to do that final climb, and he has time. He's a young player.
Sure. I mean, I hope, going back to where this conversation started, where I've got my five elite quarterbacks in the NFL, you'll notice something about four of them. They haven't won the Super Bowl.
Right.
So, like, this is not, I don't need that in order to call someone elite, in my opinion. I don't need that.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I think we can all see a good player, even though they haven't won a Super Bowl. And we all, obviously, for obvious reasons, we only do that to the quarterback. No one would ever, like, walk up to Trent Williams and, you haven't won the Super Bowl.
Right.
Are you really the best left tackle? Yes, you're really the best left tackle, even though you haven't won the Super Bowl. But Burrow has been and lost. Allen hasn't even been. Lamar hasn't even been. Brock has been and lost. Patrick is Patrick. No one's arguing that. Obviously.
Right. And we did this yesterday. There's five quarterbacks currently playing who have won Super Bowls, and three of them are not currently elite. Joe Flacco, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers. There are two that you could say are still elite. Maybe Matthew Stafford, the other one.
Yeah.
I mean, his team, he's got nobody around him. He still is a very good quarterback.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I don't think
very
anyone would put him in their top five. If anybody did an elite quarterback list or a Mike Sando tiered quarterback list, he's not a tier one guy. So four of the five guys who've won Super Bowls are not in that elite tier. And the one guy who has won three of the last five. So does that mean Brock is no good because he hasn't done it? No, you're right. Lamar and Joe and Josh and all these other quarterbacks, they haven't done it either.
Yeah, so I don't attach that word to ring. You can be elite and you have yet to win a ring. I'm with you on that,
but I also don't think that you can say, well, you can say it, but I don't see it the way the goalposts have moved. I think that he's achieved every goal but the one. It's not that the goalposts have moved.
Sure.
Can he win a big game? Yeah. Can he come from behind in a big game? Yeah. Can he this? Can he that? He's done all those things. Can he be a top five in the MVP? He just was.
He just was.
So all these things he's done, the one thing he hasn't done is win the Super Bowl, and it's fair to not hold it against him, but it's fair to say,
well, no,
okay.
To mention it, yeah, that's
right,
part
that's
of the conversation.
That he has to do.
Absolutely. 888-957-9570. We'll hear from Brock in just about 15 minutes. Let's go back to the phones. Javier in Vacaville. Hey, Javier, what's up?
How you doing, Mr. Wheeler? How you doing, Mr. Dibley?
How are you?
I just wanted your temperature on the game because I'm going to probably sound like a pessimist, but I got defeated mindset. I don't have any other fear in any other team outside of the Chiefs. But Patrick Mahomes is like the Michael Jordan of football, in my estimation, whether that's ignorant or not to think. I just have no faith in the 49ers, but, I mean, yo, with no Christian McCaffrey, you know what I'm saying? And I really feel like this might also be some of you guys like, what? You know, smirk your lips at, but man, Robert Saleh's on the street, and I'm not saying that, you know, Sorensen's a scrub, but yo, we might be betting our season on a rookie DC when everyone's like, well, why would you want to bring him in to mess the continent? Well, we got a lot riding on the season, sir. You know, like, just giving him a call and saying, hey, I mean, would you want to come be our quality controller? Because we know what he can do. Sorensen is a rookie DC. Yeah, we're 3-3, but we've blown two of those games. And defensively, it wasn't nice. It didn't look like our defensive pedigree the last six seasons. And it's just Shanahan's bet a lot on a rookie DC that hasn't proven a whole lot in this league. He said being an okay and exceptional position, which is fine. But we got Super Bowl aspirations, gentlemen. And you got a Super Bowl defensive coordinator on the street that's looking for work, whether he wants to take the season off or not, man, it would be idiotic. I feel like I have to keep the tires on him based off we don't want to miss his continuity.
Well, here's what I think. Yeah, Javier, thanks, man. Here's what I think's going on there. To me, it's a little bit fantasy land to go there, even though I understand why people do. Yes, Robert has already stated publicly he has no interest in coaching this year. But here's – I get it. I totally get the vibe of why you'd want to go kick the tires on Robert. And as Javier said, not make him defensive coordinator, but bring him in as part of the staff. Here's why you don't do that. It's the same reason that I was so shocked that the 49ers brought Jimmy Garoppolo back when Trey Lance was about to be the starter. And you remember that show where I was like, that's a hedge. That means that somebody doesn't like what they're seeing in Trey Lance. And everyone's like, no, it's like a free, just like backup card. And I'm like, no, because you don't do that to Trey. You don't put all your faith in someone new and then hang someone with this huge resume right on their right shoulder and go, okay, go play. And that's exactly what you would be doing to Nick Sorensen if you suddenly brought Robert Saleh in. I think there's a measure of this. Sometimes when you lay the card, you got to play the card. And that's what the Niners did. They laid the card on Nick Sorensen. You can't, after six games, go hang a massive name and presence in the room with him and be like, okay, hope no one missed tackles. You know, it's too much. So the Niners, for good or bad, you laid this card. Now you got to play this card.
Well, and you can't even really look at the card you've played until you get more than six games into it. I don't think that that's a fair measurement because there's a certain amount of newness. Even though he comes from within, the scheme is going to be slightly different. The way he calls games, the amount of blitzing he does, he's still finding his way. And he was an internal hire. This is different than when you brought in Steve Wilks from the outside last year because it was a completely different approach. Steve Wilks was not from the Shanahan defensive coaching tree, for lack of a better way to describe it. So he was an outsider coming in, and you could have made that move, I think, more readily last year with Steve Wilks than you would with a guy you promoted from within.
I agree. It's just not the time. I fully understand the vibe, the desire, the angst. I get it. Robert's awesome, but he doesn't want it, and you don't do that to Nick this quick. I don't think that's fair. Frazier in Antioch. Hi, Frazier. Thanks for calling us.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Just real quick on a couple of callers back. The assessment of the Super Bowl, I don't feel the same way as everyone else. What makes a quarterback elite and not elite? Brock played a hell of a game. Lineman, wrong move. Super Bowl, we win. It seems like Patrick's success has come against us. He's won two Super Bowls against us, and he lose both those Super Bowls. Are we still calling Patrick Mahomes elite? I don't know. It'd be the same as Lamar. He hasn't made a big game. But this is getting just absurd. These guys are getting labeled to be elite, and Brock has been leading the league in every category since he's been in the league pretty much. This is just becoming such a annoyance when we watch our quarterback play week in, week out. We watch him get us to a championship, watch him get us to a Super Bowl, and for not unforeseen circumstances, he would have won a championship, injured. Super Bowl, lineman, wrong move, we win. And it's just terrible that it's others that takes a team to win a sport when one person is playing pretty much their tail off. So just wanted to touch bases on that because it seemed like everyone is doubting his skills for some reason when he's been leading the league in numerous categories. And it's just like, what is everyone watching? Even his gameplay is above.
Frazier, thanks. That's what I tend to agree. And that's kind of what I'm getting at in terms of moving the goalposts. For those of you who have joined us more recently, this is kind of what got us on this discussion, and we want you to hear it. Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator of the Kansas City Chiefs, listen to him talk about Brock Purdy.
Good against zone and finding those pockets and spaces, and I think the receivers adjust routes to do that. That makes it really challenging in zone. Now, one of the things you got to remember is we had, you know, last year was a little different. LJ was here, and Trent, we had him in a different spot, and so we'll see if we can do the same things. But I just think their system is built that they really can expose zone coverage, and yet I think they got enough skill that if you don't have the right man people covering their men, that can be challenging too. I mean, it's going to start up front and stopping the run, and hopefully we can get the quarterback not to be in timing like he is, because I can't find a weakness in this quarterback. I every time I put the film on, I'm more and more impressed. It's funny, I was watching, you guys will have a better idea of the year. When did we go out there and play in a regular season game? Yeah, and it was at the end of the game, and I think they had taken Garoppolo out, and it was Brock Purdy, and I had forgotten that. But he ran the two-minute drill and kind of got him down there, and then I think we picked it off at the end. But he looked pretty good then, not like he is now. But I'm really impressed with the quarterback.
I can't find a weakness in him. The more I look at the tape, the more impressed I am. I mean, that's a hell of a quote, man.
Yeah.
And that's from a great, like a truly great defensive coordinator.
Right, and a guy who, you know, has owned this team to the extent that he's beaten them a couple of times in a row in very big games. So, yeah, that's high praise from Spags. And every time I put the tape on, I can't find a weakness with this quarterback. He's good. He kills you against the zone. And last year they had to switch it up in real time and go a lot more press man. And he's good against man as well. So, that's going to be one thing to watch, especially with the Niners' offensive line being a little bit shaky in the interior. And you got Chris Jones, as we heard earlier from Greg Cosell. He'll go over the right guard. He'll go over the left guard. Not usually out by the tackle very much. And he probably won't go on Trent's side at all in this game. But Chris Jones against that interior three in pass situations, that's going to be an interesting matchup.
I don't know why this just crossed my mind, but you're sitting there talking again. We're talking about, okay, what makes a player elite, and a lot of them are like, you know, okay, well, win the bowl, and the way you said it, I like, because you're like, well, no, that's just kind of the last accomplishment that he needs. And but for others, it's like, no, we're holding that until he performs in the last game against Patrick Mahomes, and only then will we hand that out. Well, flip it to a different sport for a second. Let me throw some names at you, and you tell me that if we were talking NBA, if we were talking hoops, and I asked you, give me like 10 elite players, you're only going to give me people who've won a ring. You're not going to say Luka. Luka's not on your list.
Right, right.
Joel Embiid, he didn't make your list. Ant's not there. No Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We're not doing that. Like, Ja Morant, he doesn't make your list. Where else do you want to go with all this? Like, I just think that if you remove the black and white thinking, you get what Steve Spagnuolo just said. He didn't use the word because he's not going to do that. He's a coach at a press conference. But I think that's what he just told you. I think he told you that Brock Purdy is one of the elite quarterbacks in the National Football League.
Yeah, and you don't have a lot of quarterbacks where you look at the tape and you can't find a weakness. And then you look at Brock Purdy's numbers, and they're very good. He has the highest quarterback rating ever after 25 starts to a career. He's got a winning record, a winning percentage that is next to impossible to match. And so I don't know what you need to look at. Touchdown to interception ratio, which is better than Tom Brady's was at this point in Tom Brady's career. So I don't know what you have to look at. You watch the tape and you see a guy who's good at just about everything. You look at the numbers, and his numbers are phenomenal in just about everything. You look at his record, and his record is almost perfect. He's got 7 regular season losses in 2-plus years. I don't know what you have to look at.
Let's go to Sparky in Alameda. What are you doing, Sparky? Thanks for calling.
What's up, fellas? It's been a minute. Okay. Talking about a resume. With a kid, rookie of the year, not bad. One Super Bowl appearance, great. But let's start talking about popularity. Popularity starts, you know, winning athlete. That's their mindset. You know what? I think I should work on this. You know what? I'm going to break somebody's record. I'm doing this, doing that. Then is when you really start impressing people. Like a young Steph. No one's good with knowing he was in the past. He started breaking records after record, after record, after record. Then we're going to talk about being popular. The kid got a lot of future, and I'm excited to see it coming. And I'm excited to see at the end of the line, holding the trophy because he well deserves it.
Sparky, thanks so much. Yeah, and I can't refute what he's saying when it comes to Steph, but Steph is so elite at one specific, I mean, he does so many things, but there's one thing, obviously, that he's the greatest that has ever lived, and that's shooting the basketball. I don't need Brock Purdy to break records, even though you sort of insinuated that at this point, because he's not qualified for records yet.
Right.
But at this point, he has. He is the highest rated quarterback in the history of the league at this point.
After 25 starts,
right.
Yeah.
So but that doesn't count or whatever. If he's anywhere near where he is right now, 30 games from now, so give it the most of the next two seasons, if he is still anywhere near where he is now, he will obliterate the record for quarterback rating.
Right. Right.
Obliterate.
Yeah, he'll be 4 or 5 points higher. And I do think that his Steph Curry comp was interesting because Steph, in 2013, hit the most threes ever, and the Warriors got knocked out in the playoffs. The next year, he led the league in threes, not quite the same total, and they got knocked out. But then the next year, he reset his own record, and they won the championship. So at that point, he went from, God, this guy can shoot, to now he's a champion, right. And he's the league MVP, and so all these things don't happen overnight. I'm not saying that Brock Purdy's going to be Steph Curry, but his evolution has to continue to progress where, okay, now regular season, 2 years in a row, he's been phenomenal. And then in the third year, the fourth year, whatever, then he wins a Super Bowl. Then it's like, okay, now we've got a 60-game sample and he's got a ring. Now we can start moving him up in the real echelon.
We'll hear from Brock, as elite as he is, here in like 2 minutes. But let's keep going with you, Kurt in Hayward Hills. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, fellas. I just want to talk about Purdy. Right now, he's a young stud. Of course he's elite. He's second in the league in passing this year. He gets the ball out quickly. He throws the ball right on the money. He's a young stud, elite quarterback. And for sure, he's going to be taking us, beating Kansas City. We need to flatten that little runt, Patrick Mahomes. He needs to be on his butt. We're going to smash Kansas City this weekend. It's a must-win, and I'll tell you why. We have not beat them. Shanahan has not beat Kansas City. And the last time we beat Kansas City happens to be many years ago, and I don't like that stat at all. But Patrick Mahomes is going down that runt for sure. And Purdy is a superstar. Now, wait a minute. Purdy is a superstar. He's a young stud. You guys got to remember that. He's young. He's on his way. We went to 2 Super Bowls because of him. We didn't lose him because of him. We lost him because of defense and overtime. Third down, we kicked the field goal. We didn't go for fourth down. That's the coach's problem. That was a bad call. There's a lot of bad calls that the coach made in the Super Bowl. But Purdy is elite superstar right now. And this year, he is going to take us to the Super Bowl again. You watch. You're going to remember me telling you this. And we're going to beat Kansas City's butt.
I mean, Kurt, well, I'm going to remember every call you ever make to this station. Who are you watching the game with on Sunday, Kurt?
Well, I watch it with the family members. I got a big TV screen. I'm going to be right in front of it. And Purdy is going to beat Kansas City. And that little runt is going to be on his ass.
Thank you.
6'2", 225. I love it. Just as good as the last time he called him a little runt.
If you don't do it again tomorrow, Kurt, we're not friends anymore. That's it. And whoever, the reason I ask who you're watching with, they're lucky people. I'd love to watch a game with Kurt. That sounds like it would be fun.